God, do not delay in working in our lives as only you can do. And we celebrate today and we sing and we say, great are you, Lord, because you're mighty to save, because you're there with us. Lord, whether we go through the good or the bad times, whether we're being blessed in ways that we say, this is awesome, or whether we're going through times that we say, where are you? Lord, we look to you for strength. We look to you for our help in every moment of our life. So God, would you work in us? Give us encouragement and show us your faithfulness all the way through. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Well, I'm glad that you've chosen to be here at Milestone Church today. And we're excited for what God is doing. And today is just a special day all the way around. We're doing a series called Resolution. And this is our final week in that. And then next week, we're going to start a new series continuing in the book of Joshua. And we'll be in a series called Overcome. And so really, in this series, I've been simply working on resolutions to say we need to make some resolutions. We need to take some steps and go forward with some things because we're all a work in progress. And so in the next series, I'm going to say, okay, let's push to actually take some better steps and keep working at it. And we'll follow that up and we'll see how Joshua does that with the Israelites in the book of Joshua. And the reality for each and every one of us, I for myself and for all of us, I don't think there's anybody here that doesn't say, man, there's not something that I don't have to change. I think we'd all agree that there's something that we would look at in our life and say, this needs to change. This needs to be different. I need to work at this. And so that's where it comes from. And so there's four different steps that I've been proposing to you. Okay, let's see. This is test time. You ready? That's a no. Okay. All right. So the test time. First step is to
resolve.
Awesome. You're looking down at your notes while you're saying it. This is good. I'm okay with that. Resolve. You can cheat. To say I'm resolved is say I must. You know, for me to say I need to, you know, I should lose 10 pounds or 15 or 20 or whatever it might be. That's just I probably should. To say I must is I'm going to do whatever it takes. I have to, and there's nothing stopping in a sense. I got to get through this wall. I must do that. And there's a big difference between the two. Step number two is?
Explore.
Awesome. Okay, so it's because I must, I'm going to figure this out. So I'm going to explore. I'm going to work at this. And so in our relationship with God, it's I must have a deeper relationship with God. I must understand who God is. I've got to figure this out. And so instead of just being passive and saying, well, it's kind of out there, we explore. We begin to research. We try to figure out, okay, how does this work out? And where is he in this? And we begin to explore those things. Then step number three is
leave.
Awesome. Okay, so to leave is I know what to do, so it's time to go. I've got to leave where I am to get to where I need to be going. And then the last one we're going to look at today is celebrate. Celebrate. Now, you say, well, there's four steps, so there's five messages in the series. And last week you got confused about that because the first message Keith preached, and that was the introductory message, which is to participate. And we're actually doing full circle where today we're going to talk about that. That's part of celebration. So in order to follow through with resolutions, I said this quickly last week, but here's the reality. If you're going to follow through with a resolution, it takes hard work. And so what happens is we make a decision, I'm going to do this. We resolve in our mind, I must do this. We explore the options. And as we do, we say, okay, I need to leave from where I am to get to where I'm going. And so as we do that and we celebrate, what happens is we run into some obstacles. You know what that is, right? Where we run into, it gets challenging, it's hard to get up, we get sick, or something happens in our life that makes it challenging. And so then we're pushed back to step number one, where we say, do I really want to do this? I mean, that ice cream looks so good. Mint chocolate chip is, it's just calling my name, and the brownies my wife just made, or it's calling me, and do I really need to lose that weight? And the resolve comes into play as to, okay, am I resolved to get through? And so then the question really is, I won't have a big bowl, I'll have a smaller portion, and I'll work at that. And so the resolve kicks in, you go back in your mind and say, well, this is how I'm going to do it, I'm going to lose weight by, and then you get into, you just walk through the process, and you say, okay, I need to do this. That's how you finish out your resolutions. very simple, very easy. But we're taking this long of a period of time. And if you're coming in the first time, you're like, wait, you spent all this time to develop that? Yes, I did. Why? Because resolutions, only 8% of people, according to statistics that I researched, only 8% of people actually follow through with resolutions. So 92% of us need help. So I'm doing the paint-by-number kind of approach to resolutions because we're a work in progress and we need to take these steps. So we're in Joshua chapter 4. So how about if you open your Bibles there with me in Joshua chapter 4. I'd like to read the first 7 verses of this chapter together. And if you don't have your Bibles, you can just listen along, or you can grab out of the pew there. We have pew Bibles that you can follow along with. And we're in Joshua chapter 4. It's just in the early part of the Bible, in the beginning of the Bible. I'm on page 180. So why don't we stand together and read this just in honor of God's word and what he's saying to us. This is tremendous as we read through this text together. Joshua chapter 4, verse 1. It says, when all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. Thank you. You may be seated. So let's recap. Israel, first few chapters of this, God has put a new leader in charge, and that's Joshua. He resolved to take charge of Israel, and as he did, God led him then to go into what they would know as the Promised Land. And so the direction that God takes them is to go through the Jordan River. So he leads them up to the Jordan River, and he says, here's how things are going to go. You're going to go through that. You're going to take the priests, and they're going to step into the water first with the Ark of the Covenant, which is the representation of God with Israel. And so they step into that, and as they do, God opens up the Jordan River, and it stands up in a heap, so it looks like a waterfall that the water's not falling, and it's kind of going the opposite direction is kind of I see it. And so they're standing there, and as the water goes up then, it's dry ground for the people to walk across. Now, if you're not, maybe you're skeptical about God and skeptical about the Bible, I understand. This seems unfathomable. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, that's not what we've ever experienced, and it's outside of our realm of understanding. And so to even read through the Bible and to accept this, you'd have to take some of these things, certainly by faith, and say, okay, I believe that God is big enough to do this. But at the same time, you would also have to recognize that history being recorded for us is accurate. And so then you'd have to do some research and look into that and say, okay, how do they come up with this? And there's some fascinating things that you'd look at and say, there's no way this should be here in front of us because this is thousands of years old. And you don't find books that stay the same for thousands of years, but we find this text, the Bible, to be accurate for the last several thousand years and continues to be that. We expect it to continue to be that as well. And so that's why we put our faith into what is said here and we continue to study it for where we are. And so that's what happened. So the waters stand up, the ground is dry, and now Israel was on one side, and it says in the rest of this chapter, they went quickly across on dry land. How would you go across that? The water is like a waterfall going backwards, and the priests are standing right there, and it's all of a sudden dry. Would you take your time? I mean, it's kind of like worse than a highway with a whole bunch of cars ready to go. Because there's really no understanding of how this is staying there, one, and whether it's going to continue to stay there. So if you're taking your kids, you're looking and you're saying, this is just me looking into it. You're saying, okay, here's how we're going across, kids. You ready? And you'd grab the little ones, you know, the ones that you're not sure that they're going to stay with you. And you're like doing the football thing. And okay, here we go. Ready? And you make sure nobody's around. And oh, he's slow, so I'm going to move over. And you know how they are. They need the walker or whatever to get across. So, you know, let's get a clear path. Okay, ready? And go. And you dart across the Jordan River for just because of reality. You're not looking at it saying it's going to stand up forever. And this is how we are, aren't we? It's always concerning when we step into situations like that. And that's where I see Israel. So they go across, and it says at the beginning of this chapter that everyone crossed and got to the other side. So there's the background of the story. And here's where we find ourselves today. And I want to ask you one question. Just this one question today. Will you get the stones with me? Will you get the stones with me? I was joking with my wife this morning about this, and I said, I got to be careful. I don't say, don't get stoned with me. Will you get the stones with me? She told me not to say it, but I couldn't resist. Bad jokes. I know dad jokes. It's horrible. Here's what God says for him to do. God tells Joshua, this wasn't Joshua's plan. God tells Joshua, God initiates this with Joshua. He says to Joshua, Joshua, I want you to take 12 guys and go back into that dry area. Go back to where the river is flowing. Go back to that place while the priests are still standing there where the Ark of the Covenant, while the water is still standing up on end, while it's just this place of kind of fear and concern. I'm initiating for you to go back into this place and pick up 12 stones, because what's going to happen out of this is we're going to party. We're going to have a celebration. We're going to get this thing started. And so he starts by telling them to go back and do this. And so here's the reality. I want to give you a couple points to think about. God provides the stones. God provides the stones. Think about this. They weren't on the shore or at a store. They were at a place where they had to go, and that God showed up and God was doing something significant. God was on the move. He opened up the waters and he revealed where the stones were and told them, these are the stones I want you to go and get. God provides for the stones. They would have never seen these stones if God didn't dry up the Jordan. Sometimes God needs to dry things up in our lives in order to lead us across our Jordan. You realize that? Sometimes God does this in the symbolic ways, but in different ways, where he tells you to spend more time with him, where you're understanding, hey, I need to spend more time with God, and you're working at that, and you're saying, I need to, and so he dries up the river by reducing your hours at work. Or he dries up the river by making you wait a long time in a line, and it seems like a repeated thing. You're stuck in traffic, or you're stuck at this place, and it's for hours, and you're like, man, what's going on here? And he dries up the river of what you can do, or sometimes your phone goes dead. I mean, that's the worst ever, isn't it? You know, you can't even go on your phone, and some of you are like, right now, well, I'm on my phone now. Well, you should put it down, because this is better. I'm just saying. You know, and so he dries things up, or sometimes, even in the worst case scenario, and I've heard people say things like this, where they got sick, they're in the hospital, they're on their back, and they can't do anything but to look up. And I've had several people say things like this, where they're just sitting there, and they said, here's their prayer that they knew God was leading, saying, you know, you need to spend more time with me. And they found themselves weeks later sick in a hospital or sick at home, just looking up, can't even do anything. And realizing that this was how God was going to work. He was going to dry up the river so you can't do anything but to look up and spend time with him. Sometimes God does that. And, you know, the reality is we oftentimes will get bitter about those or get frustrated with those, but realize that often God will lead us in through those kinds of things. He directs us really across the river and back to get the stones as we spend time with him. So here's where we should be. In a disciplined way, we should be making sure we're spending time with him. In a disciplined way, we're exploring on a consistent basis, where we have a chair that we sit in or a place that we go to where we say, this is my consistent daily time with God. I mean, that's why we have this church building. You realize that? It's a consistent weekly time where we get together to spend time with God's people and hearing about God's word so that we can be reminded of the truths of God's word and be reminded of who God is and how he works in our lives. So we come to this time to be able to be reminded about that. And it's to be around other people as well. So we spend time with God to hear from him, to know what he wants us to be doing. The past few weeks, I've been working off of this app, and I've been telling you about it. This app, it's the YouVersion app, and it has Bible study plans and different things like that. Man, if you haven't gotten on that yet, it's a great resource. Just start a five-day plan and work at it for 5 days, or start a 7-day or 28-day. They have different types of plans for all the different things you could even imagine. And I would highly encourage that. And maybe I would go the next step, as I have, to get into an accountability where you're hanging out with someone and doing a Bible study with someone else, and you're interacting together about that. It keeps you accountable just to walk through this together and be thinking about some different things. So you can take out your phones down. It's the YouVersion. Go on your app store and download the YouVersion app. Got it? Everybody's just looking at me like, really? We're supposed to take out our phones now? You just busted on us for that. Okay. Write it down and do it later, okay? But seriously, spend time with God. That's the only way you're going to hear from him. God's leading Joshua. The only way that's happening is that Joshua is spending time with God. So reality is you won't get the stones if you won't listen to God. So second part is getting the stones is going to take everything in you. It's going to take everything in you. So Joshua and the 12 guys were walking away from this safe place. They got to the shore. They got to the other side. And the adrenaline's gone. They're excited. Hey, we all got across. Whew, all right, we can get the priests come out. And now Joshua and God are having this conversation. And God tells Joshua, hey, listen, it's not over yet. Keep the priests over there and go back in and get the stones. So in order to start the celebration, in order to get things going in the next point, the reality is it's going to take everything in them to go back into this dry area where the water is gathering up and back there to grab a stone. And how are they going to get a stone? It's not going to be tiny, right? You're going to get a stone that's as big as you can. So you're going to, and if Josh was picking out guys, he's not picking out me because I'm not big enough. He's going to pick somebody that's like really huge, and hey, you represent that clan really well, so you can get a stone, and you get this huge stone, and you're carrying it back across. But the reality is, when you go back in there, you're going from safety and security into a place of, oh, I hope we're going to make it out. And you give your wife and your kids an extra hug and I'll see you in a little bit, you know. But Joshua is going in there with them. It's fascinating. Here's the reality. When you follow God, it's not easy. When you follow God, it takes everything in you to follow God. When you go to where God is working, when you go to where you see, hey, God's on the move over here, it will take everything that's in you to go against your nervous system, to go against your fears, to push through some struggles to be able to get to there. Last week, we saw two people get baptized. You know how hard it is for people to get baptized? I mean, not the action of that. The action of it's easy. Like you jump in a pool, you get a shower, you get a bath. That's easy. But the hard part's what? Yeah, you know it. It's getting in front of people. How many of you like to be in front of people? 3, maybe. Yeah, 4. Okay, cool. So there's a few of you. That's normal. You know, it's not even 10% want to be in front of people, right? And that's the reality. To go in front of people, to follow God with that first step of baptism, going public with what God's done inside of you, you have to push against everything in you. To get up in front of people, to have the courage to say, okay, God, I'm doing this for you. I want to show them what you've done on the inside of me. It's huge. Or another thing, being generous. Is it easy to be generous? I find it's really easy to be generous with somebody else's money. Right? I mean, somebody gives me $20 to give to somebody, no problem. Not my money. Here you go. You know, if I've got a credit card that's somebody else's credit card, I'd love to be generous with you. I'll pay for everybody's gas today. But when it comes to my money and my resources and what I have for my time, is it easy to be generous with my time, with my money, with my whatever? No. But when God leads you into it, you're like, yeah, but I really want to do this with my time. I want to do this with my money. And God leads you into being generous and giving away what he's really just lent to you for a season. And you're giving it away. It's pushing against yourself to even be generous. I know there's some people that you're like, yeah, I'm really generous. And you're great at it. It's your gift. But for the rest of us, there's only a few that are really naturally that way. The rest of us, we struggle with it. And here's the excuse with generosity. Well, if I had more, I would be more generous. If I had more time, I'd be more generous. If I had more money, I'd be more generous. Do you know that research proves that that's wrong? Research proves that that's a lie to yourself. You will be less generous the more you have. It's fascinating. They find as people increase in monetarily, they increase their giving and generosity actually goes down. Their charitable giving goes way down. As you have more time on your hands, here's what we do. There's another game to play on my phone. Or I want to go do this vacation. Or I want to go do this now. And we have more of me instead of more of serving. And so it's always going to be challenging. Going to where you need to go, going to where God is leading you is always a struggle. Reaching out and forgiving someone, that's God's leading. It's not easy to forgive. Agreed? When someone's really hurt you, it's so hard to forgive. And when God leads you into this, the reality of reaching out and forgiving instead of ignoring them is so challenging because we're going against everything inside of us that says, no, I just want to ignore them. I want to never talk to them ever again. I've unfriended, I've gotten rid of, and I don't want to. It's painful to even speak to them or speak about them. And God leads us into that and says, no, this is where the celebration begins. This is where you understand what I've done with you. And so he leads us into that, and it's painful. It's hard. But that's where it begins. So they spent time listening to God. They moved out of their comfort, and they got the stones. And here's the simple application. Only participants will get the stones. Going back to what Keith said a few weeks ago, only participants will get the stones. Only people that say, I'm going to get up and do, I'm going to participate, I'm willing to get involved. It's only people like that that are going to get to where God wants them to be. If you're sitting back and kind of waiting around, you're really never going to go anywhere. You're not going to get the stones if you don't get up and go, very simply. And so the point is to get up and get moving and get to where God wants you to be. So last statement then. As you're preparing for celebration, as you're getting into celebration, celebration requires preparation. It requires preparation. So you have to go to get the stones. You've got to realize that God has provided the stones, and you've got to just go against everything inside of you to get there. But you have to realize that celebration requires preparation. So Joshua and the 12 men, they prepared for the celebration that's about to happen by going to getting 12 stones. Now let me explain this a little bit. The stones were not the celebration. The stones were simply symbolic of what God was doing. So they're going over to where the stones are. They're taking these and they're coming back. And the stones then are going to be in their camp where they're staying. And it's going to be placed there for everyone to look at and say, this is here to remind me of what God's done. And it's going to begin then this celebration of, wow, look how big God is. It's not the rock that they're celebrating. That's not the point. This just gets it going. It's the initiative behind what God is doing, or initiates what God is doing. And so that's the reality. It's kind of like a party, okay? Most of us like to go to parties, unless if you're a homebody, you're like, nah, I'd rather stay home and be by myself. So you got the Super Bowl coming up, and who's in it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got the Eagles in it, right? And so we have all these Super Bowl parties that are going to happen. In order to have a good party, what do you have to do? Clean the bathrooms, yes, absolutely. We appreciate people like that. And so that's part of it. And what else you have to do? Yeah, food, all right. Good food, yeah, wings, all right, and different things like that, pizza or whatever, soda. And you get rid of the diet for the day. You take a pause and say, yeah, I'll do that tomorrow. And so you have all these things. So in order to have a great party, you've got to prepare. Very simple. And so there's people that love to host parties, and so they go and they say, okay, I'll go, and I'm going to take care of getting all the things, and they prepare, and they host this really well. And then you are invited to it, and sometimes guests come, and they say, oh, I'm going to bring some stuff too. I'll pick up the pizza. I'll bring some soda. I've got the brownies. I've got the ice cream, and different things, where you're bringing things in order to have an awesome party. It takes preparation. And so here's the reality. As God is setting them up for success and showing them, hey, listen, you resolved in your heart to follow me. You explored what I had for you. You said, okay, this is the direction you want me to go. And you left the safety of the wilderness over here where you've been for a while. You went across and you're now on the other side. I want you to celebrate. Now notice something huge. They didn't win anything yet. You see that? Like, they got into the promised land. It's proximity. They simply geographically went from New Jersey over the bridge, but through the water technically, and they got to the Pennsylvania side or the Delaware side, New York side. They got to the other side, and then they stopped, and God says, okay, cool. Now that you're here, we need to have a party. And so he has them go get the stones in preparation for the party that would begin at that moment, but it would continue on for literally years and years and years, so that the young ones would say, why is that stone here? That's a goofy place for a stone. And you'd say, okay, and grandpa would sit there, as grandparents do, and they say, hey, listen, let me tell you about that. Let's sit down. And you'd sit, and then the other kids, ooh, story time. And they'd all gather in. You'd sit there, and you said, listen, let me tell you about this. Here's what happened. God showed up that day. We were on the other side. We were not sure about God. We thought he abandoned us. We thought, you know, we're just out here to die and we're just in the wilderness. And Joshua shows up and says, guys, God's leading me to lead you, and it's time to cross the Jordan to get to the promised land. And I could hear grandfather sitting there and grandma sitting behind him, yep, that's what happened, you know, kind of thing. And she's got the brownies going, the ice cream and everything. And I could hear the kids like, really? Well, how'd you do that? You know, what'd you build? And no, we didn't build anything. God showed up. And so the priests, they get in the water. Did they get swept away? No. It was the coolest thing ever. Man, this rock, God showed me. As the water came up and the land got dry, we walked across on dry land. Could you imagine sitting with your grandfather, or your dad, your mom, your grandmother, your uncle, your aunt, and listening in as they tell this? Could you imagine the story as people look at the rock and maybe they want to rearrange the area? Hey, can we move this rock? It's really getting on my nerves. I want to plant a garden here. Oh, no. You don't move that rock. Why? Because that rock is a picture of what God's done. It's a picture of his faithfulness. So where we are as a church, here's the application for us. We're becoming Milestone Church, or we became Milestone Church this year. We're excited for that. I'm thrilled for what God's doing. It's amazing as to how God has led here. He's really, for years we've been talking about this, and over the past 6 months, we crossed over the Jordan River, and we're now on the other side saying, we're Milestone Church. There's big changes that we're doing. God moved us really from being a church for the Baptist to being a church for the community. We're excited for that. And we're looking forward to that. God showed up big, and he provided the money. A year ago when we were talking about this, seriously, we were thinking, I don't know how in the world God's ever going to provide the finances for this. Because we don't have a bank account that's got like 5 or 6 or 7 figures in it. That's not, I know every other church probably has that. That's what people think. And pastors make all kinds of money, and they have these, you know, BMWs or Jaguars. That's in my other garage that I try not to let you see. But, right. But here's what God did. While we didn't have, God showed up big through your faithfulness and God providing for you, provided for us the financial ability to be able to take these steps. Because they do. They cost hundreds and literally thousands of dollars to take these steps. And that was a unanimous kind of a thing that we walked, or a unifying thing as we walked into this together. We got the approvals from the state. We got the approvals from the IRS in record time, in a time that we were not even prepared for. We expected that really by March or April, we'd have final approvals from the state and IRS. That didn't happen that way. It happened in weeks instead of months. That's a God movement. Do you see that? That's not a man. Like, I didn't call up the IRS every day. Not that this would even help. But you don't call up the IRS and say, hey, listen, can you hurry up with that application? Like, if you're getting a used car, you could do that, right? If you're buying something, you could, you know, not with the IRS, not with the state, you don't do that. And so everything pointed to this taking forever, and it happened almost overnight. It was fascinating. We have awesome unity here. We have more people here today than we did last year. We're continuing to see growth. And so we're excited for what God's doing, and so we want to celebrate. So how do you celebrate? Well, you plan it out. You prepare correctly. And so here's what we did. I'm setting a date. April 15th is our celebration day. Okay? Why April 15th? I know Dave's looking at me like, that's tax day. Like, that's the worst day to do it. No, no, no. That's the best day because you'll remember. Right? You'll be like, oh, April, when's our celebration day? It's on tax day, of course. You know, it's celebration day. And so we're looking for that. So April 15th is our milestone celebration day where we're going to just have a big old celebration for what God is doing to bring glory to him. We're going to be inviting you to celebrate, and we're going to be inviting the community to celebrate with us. Okay? I'll be looking to invite the mayor and the chief and the fire police and different people in this community just to be part and see the celebration, be part of what's going on here. And they should be, because we're excited about this. Amen? All right. And so the question I know some are asking, well, why is it going to take that long? Why can't we just do it in a couple weeks? Because it needs preparation. So we got the approvals and everything, but there's still a bunch of things that need to be done. So here's what I'm asking. Will you get the stones with me? Will you get the stones with me? Will you not just sit by and say, well, I hope it gets done. I'll show up on April 15th and hopefully it's cool. No, I'm not looking for that. Listen, just like Joshua said to the 12 guys, hey, guys, let's go. Let's do this together. I'm asking you to do this with me. There's several steps we need to take, and I'm listing them out for you this morning. We need to redo the fellowship hall and nursery to get everything prepared for guests. The fellowship hall needs paint. We've picked out some curtains. We're working on the paint and working on redoing that, and we have some ideas that we're going to follow through with. We're excited for, and so we want to paint that and even put new ceiling tiles on in there. Now, if you've been down there, I know it's really cool because we have different shades of ceiling tiles going on. It's awesome. Like, if you did disco, it'd be really cool down there probably. But, you know, we're going to even get rid of the ceiling tiles, Lord willing. And so that's what we're looking to do for the fellowship hall. The nursery, the upper nursery and the lower nursery, both parts of that, we'd like to redo that. We'd like to paint, and we'd like to put new carpet in the nursery. I won't tell you how old that carpet is, but it's a little bit old, okay? And so we'd like to take that carpet out, put new carpet in there. Why? When a young mom comes in, not the dads, because dads don't care as much. They're like, can I just take my kid, please? But moms are different than that. I mean, we're not that insensitive, but close. Moms are different, where they look and they're like, what's that look like in there? Is it clean? Is it a place where I want my child to be, you know? And you want to make sure it's very clean and kept up and things. And we do have a clean nursery, but we want to update it now and make it look like it's new and keep it that way then as we go. So we want to do that for the lower nursery. Then the upper nursery we want to redo so it's a solid nursing room for the moms. We're even thinking about putting a TV back there for them not to watch SpongeBob, but for them to be able to watch what's going on here in the service so that we can actually video and they can be there. If they're missing out the service, they can literally see what's going on here. So we're looking to do some things like that. We need to also increase our kids' church. Right now, we have one age group, so all the kids go down, and we have one age group for all the kids. You know, so we have six-year-olds and sixth graders kind of together in the same room. It's a one-room schoolhouse. We want to double that. We want to have a younger class and an older class and do small groups that way within them and be able to facilitate that. Well, in order to do that, oh, by the way, in order to do the painting and everything, it's going to take about a dozen people or more for a work day, okay, or maybe two work days. We'll see how that goes. In order to do the kids' church the way that I envision us doing, it's going to take about 8 new people to be able to help out there, whether you're helping as just a helper or a leader or helping as a teacher. Either way is fine, okay? So we're looking for people to fill in and help out in those kind of ways. The requirements to be part of kids' church is you've got to be background checked is the first thing. You can't be involved in any kid or teen ministry without a background check. That's how we work. And then maybe you're not a member. Maybe you're like, I'm not sure about this place yet. I like it, but I'm not sure. I'm still, you know, in the trial phase. That's all right. You don't have to be a member until you get to the point of teaching. And so we want to make sure all of our teachers are members so that we're all teaching the same thing. We're on the same page in that way. Not that we want to wait for that long. Listen, you can be a member way before that point as well. We'll have a membership class in a couple of weeks after the Super Bowl. We're going to have a membership class on a Sunday afternoon. So let me know of that. So we'll need about 8 people to help Kids Church to improve. The next thing we want to do is we want to provide next steps for people that are curious about God. So people come in and it's their first time coming and they're checking out the church and here's who we want to reach. I don't want to reach people that go to another church. That's not my goal. It's not that I'm going to say you can't come because you've gone to another church. That's not what I'm saying. I'm trying to reach people that don't know anything about God. I love when people that are agnostic and atheist or people that are skeptical about God walk into here and try to understand more about God. That's awesome to me. And we've seen that over and over where people come and they hang out and they listen and they study and they kind of ask questions in awesome ways and we just have a great dialogue. That's great, and that's where I believe our church should be, continuing to facilitate great discussions with people that don't know anything about God. Not to cram anything down their throat, but the opposite. We're going to ask or allow you to ask questions and we're going to answer them to the best of our knowledge. And if we don't have good answers, you can say that. We give you permission. It's a good thing. Hence, we have a great dialogue there. And so what we want to do is provide small groups and start out with a small group that's really initiating this and leading the way and then continue to build out small groups that duplicate out of that and just multiply, and we have a bunch of small groups. So we're working on that just to start those conversations and work that out. And that's where I believe we're going to see tremendous growth. We need a team that's going to help plan the big day. Need a half a dozen people that can help just plan out this big day. We need, then the last thing, we need finances to get it all done. We're literally going to need hundreds of dollars, probably really a couple $1,000s to get all of this done. It will be actually about $3,000 to be able to get all the painting done and all that other stuff. Now, we have that within our budget, which we're going to talk about today at the end of this. And we also will have some special needs that come up as well to be able to get to the next level. And so we'll let you know of those things. So here's my question. Will you go with me to get the stones? Will you help me prepare for the celebration that God's placed in front of us? It takes everyone, doesn't it? Not one person can do it. It's going to take a whole bunch of people. And there's already several people that are like, I'm in. I want to help. It's going to take several more. We need to really staff and do a great job with all that we have and keep going forward. So let me pull this, make this kind of turn around to full circle here. God led them to celebrate. It was a tiny little step that they did. It was a tiny little step to go, you know, not even a mile away or whatever from this side to this side. It was a tiny little step, and God said, stop. I want you to celebrate. You're going to need this as you go forward because every step you take will be challenging. And you're going to need to take this time to be able to see who I am and see how faithful I am, how strong I am, that I will be with you as you go forward. And so as we do this, we go back and we say, here's our communion table. This is the same idea. It reminds us of what God has done. It reminds us that he is faithful to us. It reminds us that he is our rock. He is our cornerstone. He is the one that gave his life. His body was broken. His blood was shed for us. And so in the same way, we come back to this place and we say, okay, we need to celebrate the Lord's Supper. We need to celebrate this together and realize how faithful God is. And as we do, we look and we say, God has more in store for the future as we follow him. And so this morning, I want to turn things around then and just go back and remember what he has done. I'd like for us to participate in the Lord's Supper. It reminds us of everything that he's done. And maybe you're sitting there and you're like, well, I know what you're celebrating. I know you're going to drink some juice and eat a cracker and all that stuff. It doesn't mean anything to me. And I get there's going to be people like that. Whether you're young or whether you're old, wherever you are, there's going to be people that struggle with that. For the rest of us, we look at this and we say, this is symbolic of my Savior, of God who sent Jesus to come into this world, who is absolutely perfect. And he came and he was murdered, literally, but he gave his life for us to pay for our sin as the payment that only God would allow. And so he paid for that, but he rose again the third day, and he showed himself to hundreds of people, declaring that he was victorious over resurrection. So we look at this as our hope, don't we? For us today, we look and we say, hey, life's challenging. We've got sickness. We've got challenges all over the place that happen. And life's not short of challenges. The reality is we have a sure hope for the future. We know that Jesus Christ has paved the way so that we have a relationship. We who believe by faith in him, we have a relationship with God, and we will have eternal life and spend all eternity with him. And so that's what we celebrate. That's what we celebrate. So in preparation for that, I always stop and say, is your heart clean before God? The greatest appreciation for this and greatest understanding of this is when I stop and I say, God, you've done all of this for me. I'm all in. Lord, forgive me for the things that I've done wrong against you. Every sin is literally me rejecting God. So it's, Lord, forgive me for where I'm rejecting you. Lord, I want to have a full, all-in relationship with you. And so as we partake, the first thing really is to make sure that we're clean before God. And then as we partake, we remember all that he did. That he came and while he was perfect and while Pilate and the others declared that he was innocent, he gave his life for us. Not in a small, insignificant way, but in such a painful way. To show us how much he loves us. And so we remember that through the broken body and the shed blood for us. And so before we partake, I'd like to just stop and give each one of us an opportunity to spend a few moments in silence with God. And Rob's going to come and he's going to play some music in the background and just give us the opportunity to spend some time with God, just in our minds to be able to talk to God. Or maybe a quiet whisper of where you are, talking with God and saying, God, forgive me. God, cleanse me. God, make me right with you. Or maybe today's the day you say, God, it's time for me to accept you as my Savior. God, I need you. And we start that relationship where we continue that relationship and get right with God. So let's just take a few moments to do that, and then we'll partake of the Lord's Supper together. Lord God, we thank you so much for your payment for our sin. Lord, where we've rejected you, you've gone across and you've offered forgiveness. And so, God, thank you so much for your broken body and your shed blood for us. Lord, cleanse us, I pray. Forgive us for our sin and help us to walk with you. And Lord, as we partake and celebrate what you have done in this Lord's Supper, Lord, may you guide us in our heart to be excited for you. And to continue to take every little step that you lead us into. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.